This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد It's so happy, so I'm very, very, very happy to see all of you, mashallah. And some new faces, but of course, most of them old faces. Mashallah, may Allah bless you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve you. May Allah preserve the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep this and make this and continue to keep it as a source of sadaqah jariyah for all of us, inshallah. The what we'll do is, inshallah, what I intend to do is to speak to you for a little while, and after that, inshallah, we'll just sort of chat for a while. Very important to remind ourselves, especially since we are coming to a close of this beautiful month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ramadan al-Kareem, and in Ramadan, itikaf comes not for that period. Not Ramadan does not come for Ramadan. The itikaf is not for itikaf. This is for the rest of our lives. The purpose of itikaf is to change our lives. The purpose of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you believe, we have prescribed, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed on those before you, so that you may become muttaqun. And therefore, Ramadan comes, and in Ramadan, this itikaf comes in order to make us more muttaqi, to make us more conscious of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us more concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to ensure that we do everything only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, it is important for us to take stock of ourselves. So use this period of itikaf to first and foremost to reflect and take stock. What did I gain? What do I still have to gain, and what will I do in order to get it? This is the main purpose of itikaf. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Ramadan for me, and I came into Ramadan to become more muttaqi. Did this happen? Am I now more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than I was? If the answer is yes, then alhamdulillah, we pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istiqamat, for steadfastness. If the answer is no, then obviously it means that I have to do something about it. One way to look at it is that if you find yourself being obedient in some things, but not in others, then remember that selective obedience is what? Disobedience, exactly. Yeah, so you still remember some of the lessons, alhamdulillah. Selective obedience is disobedience. It is easy to be obedient in things that we like to do anyway, but difficult to be obedient in things that we don't like to do. Just ask yourself, why is it that masajid are filled in Ramadan for Taraweeh, which is a nafil, but for the rest of the year, for Farz Salah, the masjid is empty? So if people are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukum for Salah, which should come first? The Farz Salah. But we don't do the Farz Salah. Farz Salah is difficult for us. You know, five times a day, I have to go to the masjid. Difficult. So therefore, Taraweeh is more fun, hangout, friends. Haider bhai always gets very irritated. People used to ask him, aap Taraweeh kaam padh rahe? Unhu bolte, aap main jaan faras padhta, main Taraweeh padhu. Aap faras kaam padhte? Ye bolo. So people ask, you know, where are you going to pray Taraweeh? He said, I pray Farz. Where do you pray Farz? So really, if you think about this, do things which we like to do anyway. And that is why we have to ask ourselves whether we have truly become obedient or this is also one acting. So be very clear about that. Same thing with itikaf. The purpose of itikaf, again, is not to be with friends and not to, you know, get together and get away from the home for a while and so on. Purpose of itikaf is individual reflection, introspection, with the clear intention of changing our lives going forward out of this place. So I remind myself and you, let us be very, very clear about that. Right? We must be very clear that we have who is our enemy and who is our friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna shaitana aduun fattakhizuhu aduwa. Allah said, verily, shaitan is your enemy. Treat him like an enemy. But do we treat shaitan like an enemy? Or do we treat shaitan like our advisor, our confidant? We ask shaitan for his advice. Then we do what shaitan tells us. Which one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that who is our wali, friend, not as in there is no friendship with Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said, Allahu waliul ladina aman. Allah is the wali of the people people who are believers. But what do the people who are believers, what do they do? They borrow money on interest. And they therefore declare and they accept a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we wonder what happened. Why is it my dua is not accepted? Why is it that I am begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am in difficulty and I am crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nothing happens. How will anything happen? Who will accept your dua? Your wali or your enemy? So if I have taken my name out of the list of the awliya of Allah and put it into the list of the adu Allah, the people who are the enemies of Allah, then I am expecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me, then it means I must be insane. Because how can that happen? So very important for us to make sure that we take stock of our lives. And taking stock means we make the intention to change and we change. We don't sit and wait and say this will happen, that will happen, what will happen? No. I am seeing what I am doing is what I am doing. If it is right, alhamdulillah, I continue to do that. If what I am doing is wrong, then I will change that. This is something that I must be absolutely clear about and I must do. Therefore, after we take stock, then what I suggest that we should all do is to actually take a notepad and write down and say, what are the changes that I plan to make in my life? Specifically, write those changes. What are those changes? Right? Changes in activities. Where will I go? Where will I not go? Where will I, which place do I frequent most? Will I continue to go there or will I go somewhere else? Let's stop going there. Activities. Second thing, friendships. Who are my friends? Who do I hang out with? Who do I spend time with? Is it something I should continue? Or maybe some friends, I must say, Salaam Alaikum. Because those friends are going to be those about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, on that day, there will be friends where you will say, Ya laytani lam attakhiz fulanan khalila. He will say that, why did I have this person as a friend? Why did I have, ya laytani, oh, I wish I did not have this person as a friend. So the time to change that is now. So friendships. Third is priorities. What do I give priority to in my life? Which is the most important thing in my life where I'm spending maximum time, energy, emotion, whatever, money? And which is something which is not important? How will that change? Is there some change that needs to be made in priorities? Then my behavior. What changes in behavior? How do I behave when I'm angry? How do I behave when I am irritated about something? And what must change in that? Right? So that is in terms of behavior. And finally, very importantly, the overall schedule for the day. How will my day change? In what way will my day change? Right? How do I spend my time? So these are the changes that I suggest that we all take a pad and pen and sit down and write down. For each of us, it will be different. Write those changes. This is what I will change in my life. Because without these changes, the path of our life and its destination will not change. If I'm going on one path, and if I don't take the exit to get onto another highway, then this highway will lead where it is supposed to lead. And if I am on a highway that is leading to the hellfire, then that is where I will end. Right? There is a, just think about this when you are driving, especially those who have driven in the West. You are on the highway. You can't just turn around anywhere, right? You have to look for exits. And then a point comes when you are near the toll gate, when there are no more exits, right? They will get a sign there saying no more exits. And you have to go through the toll gate. There's no other way. So don't reach that point. Don't reach a point where you are now in a spot where there's no more exits. Then you have to go through the toll gate. And that is when Malakul Maut will stand before us. So before that, we need to take an exit if we decide that we are on the wrong highway. So we need to be very clear in our minds. Am I on the right highway or not? If I'm on the right highway, alhamdulillah, no problem. But if I'm not on the right highway, then the time to change is while there are still exits. When there is an exit, we take the exit and we out. Otherwise, we will end up in the wrong destination. Now, final point I want to say to you, which is that what is our wealth? Right? Define our, what do we pay zakat on? We pay zakat on wealth, right? Not on income, isn't it? So now, what is wealth? Is wealth what I earn? Supposing I say I earn $1 million a month. Is that my wealth? It's not my wealth. My wealth is what I have at the end of the year with me. I earn $1 million a month. I spend $1.5 million a month. At the end of the year, I'm in debt. Not only do I not have wealth, but I'm in a hole. Because I'm earning something and I'm spending more than that. I'm earning something. I'm earning $1 million. I'm spending $1 million. At the end of the year, what is my wealth? It is zero. Right? Even though I earned a lot of money. Now, the same thing applies to our deeds. What we earn and lose, we will still be destitute. Our deeds, which is what will be with us when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are those deeds? Those deeds are those which we earned and which we protected and preserved. Right? The example which we have heard a million times. Supposing you have a lot of money, you've got a big bunch of banknotes in your pocket, and you have to go through a crowded railway station or through a market or somewhere, and you know that gangs of pickpockets operate in this place. How will you go? You will ensure that that money is in your pocket and your hand is also in your pocket, right? You will not leave that money in your pocket even for an instant without having your hand on the pocket, because you know that the thief will take it. Now, our thieves, who are our thieves? Shaitan, number one, and our nafs inside us, number two. These are the thieves. They will take it. No matter what you earn, they will take it. What else will take it? Riya will take it. Showing off will take it. I am doing something so people will know, mashallah, so pious person, holy person. Gone. That deed is wiped out, worthless. Ghibat will take it. I do a lot of good deeds. Then my whole social life is, I'm backbiting people. I'm slandering people. I'm talking about this one, talking about that one. Deeds gone. Ostentation, showing off. So be very, very careful to ensure that what we do at least remains with us, that it is not wiped out, it is not gone away, and that it is something which is still with us when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Final point I want to close with are actually two things. One is a very important thing that Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayh, one of the great scholars of the Tabi'in, he said that when a racehorse sees the finish line, right? When the racehorse sees the finish line, he runs faster. He puts his whole heart and soul into the race. He exerts even more. So he said, Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayh said, have at least as much sense as a horse. Don't have less sense than the horse. Because we are, in terms of itikaf, we are reaching the end of this month. Then it's gone. Just think about the people who are with you in itikaf last year. Right? Are they with you this year? They are not. Some are not, because for them, last itikaf was the last itikaf of their lives. And then they died. Others may be alive, but they are still not in itikaf for various reasons. So make the best of this itikaf, because this might be our last. Make the best of this Ramadan, because this might be our last. One Ramadan will be our last. One itikaf will be our last. No doubt about this. So exert more. Don't waste a single minute. Don't talk to anybody. Don't engage in anything. You are here in the masjid to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do only that. Don't do anything else. Make sure that you do only that you connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you ensure that you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you reflect on your life, and you make the changes going out from here. If you entered itikaf in a particular state in your life and you left in the same state, then that itikaf is a waste of time. Then you didn't get anything. Right? So don't do that to yourself. Make sure that the itikaf is something which is beneficial to you. Final point, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi alayh, he said, there are those who do not see the effects of a sin and they are tricked by this. They are deceived by this. They don't realize that the sin can take effect after a while. Right? So, for example, if you're doing something which is wrong, whatever that might be, I don't want to go into a list of the wrong things we do. Whatever that is. You find that you're doing that and nothing happens. And you think, oh, no problem. This is fine. It is not fine. It is like somebody who's smoking. If somebody who's smoking, that person is now susceptible to lung cancer. He won't get lung cancer the minute his cigarette finishes. He will get lung cancer after 20 years. But then he will suffer in the worst form, and he will spend money like a tap to die in a painful way. That's why I tell people, don't smoke. Don't buy cancer. Cancer is free. So seriously, think about this. The same thing happens with sin. We commit sins. We lie, we cheat, we deceive. We eat haram, we speak haram, we earn haram, we spend haram, we do all of this. May Allah protect us. And nothing happens. So we think, oh, fantastic, no problem. That's not true. It will happen. Just like pollution has an effect, just like other things have an effect, sinning also has an effect, and a far worse effect. Because the effect of cancer will finish the day you die. Or the day the treatment you are taking for cancer treatment works, alhamdulillah, at least that will be arrested. But the effect of sin continues into our khabar and continues into the day of judgment. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to hold us accountable, then this will take us into the hellfire. That is not something we want to do. So don't lose deeds. That is why the hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w. where he said, he asked the Sahaba, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, he said, do you know who are the destitute of this ummah? They said, Ya Rasulullah, the destitute of this ummah are those who have no money. They have no dirham, they have no dinar. Rasulullah said, no. The destitute of this ummah are those who will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a lot of good deeds. Good deeds the size of a mountain. So we are talking about people who earn, right? Remember what did I tell you? What is wealth? What remains, not what you earn. What remains. So these people, they earned a lot because that's how they came. They come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good deeds, the size of a mountain, huge good deeds. But then there is a line of people also before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waiting there to say, this person backbited me, this person dishonored me, this person killed me, this person tortured me, this person gave me this trouble, that trouble, this person took away my this right, that right, this, or whatever you did, right? So you have a whole long list of people, and on the day of judgment, the currency is what? It is not Saudi Riyal, it is not US dollar. Currency is deed. So from those deeds, those people will be given equal to whatever share that this person took from them. And then Rasulullah said, then a time will come when that whole mountain of deeds which they did, which they earned, is finished. Because it is all gone to different people. But the line of people is still there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them, now what do you want me to do? They will say, Ya Rab, give our evil deeds to this man or this woman. And Rasulullah said that that person who came with a mountain of good deeds will go into Jahannam carrying the evil deed of somebody else. Because that person, those people, they harmed. So let us not be people like that, who do a lot of good, but nothing remains because we lost it all. Let us be those who do good and our good remains, by ensuring that we settle accounts. So one of the things to do also in itikaf is think about those people who you may have offended, who you may have wronged, right? Take your ego, slaughter it, go apologize to them. Make sure that your account is cleared with them. Because you don't want that person to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for your account from there. Right? Whoever you had to give, what you had to give, give it. Give more, don't give less. Because if you end up taking something from somebody and you have not given it to them in this world, believe me, on the day of judgment, that will be very, very expensive. That will be very expensive. There's no way of running away from that. That day, you can cry tears of blood. Nothing will change. That person will stand there and say, Ya Rab, you are just, you are Al-Adil. I want my share. And there is nothing that Allah will not stop. Allah will give that share. So let us not end up with that situation. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with all of you to accept your i'tikaf. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable you to worship Him beautifully and in a way in which He loves, and to accept it from you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you as only He can reward, in keeping with His majesty and grace. I request you to make dua for me and my wife. I request you to make dua for all the Muslims. This is the biggest sunnah of Rasulullah that he used to make dua for his ummah. So revive that sunnah by making dua for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam all over the world. Subhanallah, Allah knows we are in such need. And therefore we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away this need and to fulfill this need. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin. Wa salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Another better report to leave. Thank you, Bolia. Jazakallah, Bolia. Sir, Jazakallah, khair from all of us.
Thank you. Jazakallah, sir. Thank you, thank you. Jazakallah, khair. So nice to see you. Inshallah, phir Thursday ko milenge. Aur other bhai ko aap bolo zara wo.
Sir, us din zara.
Ja sir.
Dua na please, inshallah. Dua please.
Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah.
Dua miss kar rahe aapki dua.
Acha.
Kya bol raha sir, kya bol raha?
Lambi
dua. Dua lambi dua hona bol rahe. Babbi bhai.
Acha.
First day. First day.
Uske baad to kitne paise dete hai kehte ho paise ke upar. आपको 1 lakh की दुआ हो ना 10 lakh की दुआ इंशाल्लाह इंशाल्लाह अल्लाह ताला जो भी दिल में डाले इंशाल्लाह जज़ाकअल्लाह जज़ाकअल्लाह बहुत खुशी हुई आप लोग सबको देख के सलाम अलैकुम व रहमतुल्लाह व बरकातहू।